This is The Playbook. This Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook. I am so excited every once in a while I get a true coach here at SoFi Stadium, greatest stadium ever created, and Darlene Santori. She is Coach Dar. You are the coach that I need the most. It's the mindset, the heart set, the handset coach that allows us to reach our potential. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to coach skills and knowledge. It's another to combine desire and the execution on that desire that just blows me away. Thank you for joining me here on The Playbook.
Thank you so much for having me. I was just saying, I'm here often for the game, but I never get to come and talk to you.
How cool
for
is this?
For an interview. So thank you.
Well, it's probably more valuable to me than what you even give those players, because you are one of the best mindset coaches
thank
in
you.
Sports. You're an occupational therapist, so you do have the skills and the knowledge to help people effectuate their potential. But I'm most interested. I mean, your book is so up my alley, right? This Art of Bouncing Back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm known for the ability to bounce back. I always tell people, you can't be a bounce back person unless you screwed up royally.
That's right.
Because it'd be nothing to bounce back to or from. You got to really screw up to be known for bouncing back.
You have to have some adversity.
Yeah, you do. And mine, you know, I'm accountable for, but have learned through a lot of what you do. You're one of the best speakers that I know, inspiring so many people. But it's not just the inspiration, because a lot of people can be a cheerleader.
That's right.
It's actually the content that resonates with me.
Mm-hmm.
And on three levels, and I want to talk about each of these three levels.
Okay.
There's an intelligence level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have an academic background like me. You actually have knowledge and skills. There's the intuitive level in which you teach.
Very.
And then the inspirational level, which allows us to have that resonation. So let's start on just the pragmatic intelligence of occupational therapy and mindset.
Yep.
What are some of the key components that we can practice in a pragmatic way to increase our muscle of mindset?
So much about this is really mindset, is a lot of it is reframing. And when you really practice, so when you hit adversity, it's being able to reframe a situation. So when a player has in the middle of the game and they're sitting there and they're saying like, that play was awful. And then they start doubting themselves, just like any of us would do. So work doesn't go well. A pitch
marriage
doesn't go well, marriage, and you start doubting yourself. I always say to people, let's reframe that. So maybe the play was messed up. Maybe something happened in the marriage. Maybe something happened in the business. Let's own it, accountability. But then we're going to reframe it. And then we're going to say, hey, your skills and talent didn't get taken away from you. It's a situation. It's not a bad life, a bad career, or it doesn't mean you're never going to have a great relationship again. Once you take accountability and reframe it, you could move forward from it.
But there's, and you should write this book as well, called The Art of Reframing.
Yes.
Because some people, they go way too far, in my opinion. One of my friends is Gary Vaynerchuk, and I laugh because he's the king of going too far on reframing. Like, I don't think it's as valuable. It probably does help, but it's like, at least I'm not dead.
Oh,
right? Like,
no.
Some people think of reframing. It's like, okay, there has to be a context.
There has to be accountability in it, too,
right.
And awareness. So part of this, too, is emotional intelligence. We have to have emotional intelligence so we have awareness to how did the situation happen so it doesn't happen again.
Right.
So you're right. You have to. But everything is about that EQ to have awareness of how to fix it.
I know. And adaptable intelligence as well. So we've covered some of the aspects of intelligence. And if you want to learn more, please read or listen to and watch Coach Dar, because she's incredible. And she gets into a lot of great detail that, you know, fortunately for me, I wouldn't be able to get to all my interviews today if I went that deep. But I'm more interested even in intuition.
Yes.
So I want to start by someone who has your background in education and experience. You know, there's a lot of different perspectives on intuition.
Mm-hmm.
What is your perspective of intuition and how it is also reconciled with an intelligence of mindset of peak performance?
I think when people say oftentimes to me, you know, you have such intuition, I feel like part of that too is I care deeply. You care deeply. You truly care. Everyone that you sit with, every time you talk to someone, your intellect also comes with your intuition because you care. So when you care enough, you start watching for people. What is their body language saying? You know, what's going on in the room? You know, when you walk in somewhere, did something just happen? So you know how to present and you start picking up on things. So with all the people that I've helped, I'll say to people, make sure when you walk in, you're aware of what's going on and you start picking up. So someone may say something, but that's not what their body language is saying. So be thoughtful to ask a better question or the next question, to lean in more to it, because you'll get more out of the person if you're aware of what's going on.
And I'm so glad you brought that word awareness up, because for me, I've struggled with the idea of intuition. Because I went from like resistance on the woo-woo side of being an intuit, a sphinx, you know, download medium. Yeah. There's so many things that went through my head. And today I've literally simplified it as an indicator of what to be aware of. When I look at intuition, for me, I used to have a result-based, and I see a lot of gamblers, you're in the sports world like me, right? They think that, and I have a studio at The Win, which, by the way, come visit me at, because it's even cooler than this place. But I love walking by the craps table and someone hit an hard eight, which is 2-4s, in case people don't gamble.
I love craps.
Right? Yeah, me too. And they're like, I knew it. And I think to myself now, I'm like, you did not know it. Your intuition made you aware of it somewhere during your play.
Right.
And now on the eighth roll or the 18th roll, it's now hit.
Yes.
And you now have discredited intuition by putting some sort of outcome that is impossible. A man-made outcome is impossible to be directed to exactly the indication of awareness that, hey, in a certain amount of time, we can't tell you what, because time's man-made, that you should be aware of or pay attention to this thing that you're resonating with.
Right, right.
How do we determine, especially in the realm of sports, when we get an awareness, an intuitive thought, that prioritize this for this game, this week, this career, or this life?
I think I go back to just general awareness, because I really relate so much to emotional intelligence. So just having general awareness, when you're aware of what's going on, and especially sports, or let's take it to anyone listening outside of sports, but start paying attention to the patterns that have been happening, because patterns predict things which help you with intuition, which you could pick up on things faster. So be aware what's going on and then have some intuition. You get a gut feeling, but you also will pick up on patterns when things are happening. Your intuition will go, tune in on that. Tune in on this because it's coming, or you see something. So when I'm helping a quarterback, I'm saying, like, tune in, because you're going to watch. Watch what their body language is doing. And your intuition will pick up to say, that's what we need to lean in on. That play is going to happen. This is going to occur. So your awareness will indicate, and your intuition will go, oh, we've seen this, because it's pattern recognition oftentimes too.
Yeah, it's interesting in sports how it really plays a big role. And I started working mindset with some golfers. And my first was just energetically. Naturally, golfers love, if they're playing in a twosome, threesome, or a foursome, while the other person's putting especially,
miss it,
and then they wonder why they miss it, because all of a sudden they're like, make it.
Yes.
I go, don't you understand what you're programming yourself with? But within the context of understanding awareness is also inspiration in spirit. And it takes a gratitude of the future. It takes a faith in even believing you as a coach that the intelligence and intuition of what we're doing, and hopefully we are marrying a high level of skills and knowledge with our desire. But a lot of great athletes that I've represented, and I'm thinking two of my closer relationships, Ryan Leaf and Jeff George, had incredible talent, but they interfered with their in-spirit, their inspiration, and they didn't realize that instead of focusing in on trying to get better, all they really should have been focusing in is, what am I doing to interfere with this source aligned with my skills and knowledge? How do you help, especially athletes, hyper-competitive, a lot of times scarce and competitive in nature, to what other people may define as getting out of their own way, but as I define it, to identify what they're doing to interfere with their potential instead of trying to reach a potential that they already have?
So oftentimes I'll take them through. So if they keep coming off the field, or they're coming off the ice, and there's this, the first thing they say is negative, I'll say, you have to have awareness, because you literally are stopping yourself, and you're feeding what you're self-sabotaging at this point. And so I said, if you don't believe it, what you focus on, you start to feel, and you start to perform it. And so you keep focusing on what went wrong instead of, well, what went right? Let's pick up what we need to fix, but look at all that did go right. And so I shift it to say, and then I say to them also, you're the one percenter. You can't, this is a lull right now. This doesn't mean you're out of the league. And so let's shift that. And that's where the inspiration comes, where I start giving them what I call pep talks. And I start giving them a pep talk because I start to help them. Honestly, most people I work with is regaining confidence, helping them regain confidence, inspire them to believe in themselves again. Because we all start doubting ourselves, no matter who we are at times.
And just to finish up, one of the things that I learned from you is this idea of looking for what you want, not for what you don't want.
Yes.
And it's applicable, of course, internally with this confidence and inspiration of self and worth and all the things that we question at the highest level of performance. But I also find it extremely useful in relationships of others. And I found it is particularly so valuable in my marriage to, I'm married to this extraordinary woman, and I spent a period of my marriage, I've been married 26 years in a couple of weeks, looking for what I didn't want. Yes. Like silly things.
Yes.
Like the shoes left on the staircase, not like the incredible kindness, confidence, like these unbelievable qualities. But I literally focus in on the shoes on the staircase, not like the extraordinary beauty inside and out that I've been blessed to be partnered with in an intimate way for 26 years. And it almost ruined my marriage.
Yes.
And I see people ruin themselves in their relationships with that. How important is it to look for what we want?
That is, I'm so glad you shared that, because in relationships, friendships, marriages, business relationships, it's the 80-20. The 20% that doesn't go right, we focus on that instead of the 80% that went right well. And if we would just shift to look at the 80% that that person does beautiful, that they bring to the table, that they inspire us to, that they're self-serving about, we would be so much happier in our relationships and in the world around us. But society, often we're focusing on the problems. We're focusing on what went wrong. So if we could shift our mindset to start seeing the beauty that's around us and within us, we're going to be happier.
And I would assume that goes right along with reframing.
Absolutely.
Back to intelligence, leading to the intuition, raising the awareness of what truly inspires us, what we love, the light, the love, and the lessons that exist in everyone, every situation, every game, every swing, and of course, every interview.
Yeah.
Coach Dar, it's Darlene Santori.
She's
been inspiring me for years. If you haven't checked out her videos, her books, her speeches, you are missing out. Look for what you want. I want Coach Dar. She's helped so many, and she'll help you as well. This is David Meltzer, sitting up on top of the field for once with the incredible coach here on Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.